almost a year since Joe Biden was elected as president, and still 73% of self-identified Republicans in a recent poll claim fraud was involved in the 2020 election. Meanwhile, the spectre of violence on the scale of the January 6th insurrection is never far away. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. COP26, just to wrap up on this one, although I did say early on I thought another summit was pretty irrelevant as far as climate action goes. In the closing days, we did get another pitch to maybe sort of look at using maybe not quite so much coal in the future if we have to. The wording given a last-minute change due to a push from India. Did we really see anything come out of COP26?
Well, we saw a lot come out of it. In the first place, this is not a situation where some governments are there and they think, I don't need to be here. This is something that's affecting somebody else. Everyone's on the same page in that regard. The second thing we saw come out of it, we actually saw commitments to do things. Before, there are commitments to discuss them, commitments to perhaps change. These are real commitments. I think Biden had a lot to do with that. And these commitments, such as lowering emissions, real commitments, dealing with methane, real commitments, actually a real recognition of the 1.5, putting in infrastructures in every nation in the world now on climate change. There's no exceptions to that. And so I think this is a real deal now. Rolling it back is going to be very difficult. Rolling it forward, still uphill climb, but I think this is a climb that's beginning to be made. It's like climbing a mountain. The first few steps, really hard. Then you get a little rhythm, a little momentum. It's still uphill though. Don't kid yourself, it is uphill. China and India have an interesting problem in that they were so deep into the commitment to minerals and a mineral future, digging their way out is not just digging out, not using the substance, it's the people they have. India has a lot of people in the coal area to stoke those furnaces. These are people jobs and they've got to keep those jobs alive, or they'd have a massive revolt from the other side. So I recognize, and I think the wording should have been that wording from the beginning.
Yeah, I want to circle back on that, but you say that everybody was kind of on the same page, in the same boat at the end of this one. I would argue there was one glaring omission, rather glaring from where we're sitting right now. Australia is still making headlines in the United States. I mean, this is one from the Washington Post I've got in front of me. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison doubles down on coal after COP26. So, I mean, I feel like the world has a pretty good idea of, or a pretty good feeling on where Australia is sitting right now.
Yeah, I think Scott Morrison may be the man out, not Australia. Let's get that clear. I think 75% of Australians are going in the right direction. We have a leader that's going in the wrong direction, even within his own party. So I think there are, in fact, some moves from Australia that we'll see some fruit from in the not too distant future.
Now, I mentioned Australia, and you mentioned there before China and India. I mean, look, stopping the use of coal, let's say, for the United States isn't going to affect them that much. They're already preparing. There's a whole lot of discussion I think we could have about their primary industries, but look, we won't get into that right now. But in terms of China and India, China is weaning off. India, it is still rather necessary for a large segment of their population, and obviously they're still catching up when it comes to industrialization.
That's right. They've got to make cars. They've got to make hard goods.
Yeah.
You cannot make hard goods yet unless you have some of their substitute energy, and they don't have a lot of rivers or anything where they can get hydroelectricity. They can't even rely on the sunshine because of all the dust and stuff in the air. And they're not at the title space at all. So I think the only thing that's really going to help them, and what is helping them, is atomic energy.
Yeah, I think it's kind of regardless of where governments go, what governments say or do right now, realistically, the commercial imperative just isn't there. There's not a growth market in coal anymore.
No, there isn't. And it's going to go away.
Now, we saw a bit of talk about the United States and China coming out of COP26 as well. And we have this sort of major summit to sort of further discuss some of the things that are going on with the relationship right now. What are kind of the big ones? What are the big takeaways at the moment, Ed?
Well, the biggest takeaway first is that China made a commitment with the U.S. on global climate change. That's side by side. Followed up, but the discussions were held yesterday on how do we lower the temperature on in the Pacific, on tariffs, on all the goods exchanges and the like. China wants to get back to the new normal. And it wants to get back to the new normal with Biden. They had a real scare when Trump was in that a new normal was going to be a bellicose normal, and that's not what they want.
Mm.
So I think what we're going to see here over the next couple of years is things that make things more comfortable between the countries. But we have Hong Kong and Taiwan as lightning rods.
Yeah.
So those two lightning rods make it very difficult to bring things together. For China, keeping those people under control is super important. For the United States, keeping them as really a third force in China, because Hong Kong can deliver the messages into China that we can't. Same with Taiwan. Taiwan is, in fact, the manufacturing genius for China. It is the manufacturing capability that comes from Taiwan. And those factories are run by Taiwanese in China. And the logistics is run from Taiwan. Evergreen, big shipping company, Taiwanese. So these are things that's going to take, I would say, very deep relationships before trust can be built and changes can be made. These are difficult times, but at least talk is better than bellicose actions. And I think we're talking honestly and deeply for a change.
Just one more thing before I move off this one. I mean, obviously, there's a great deal of discussion to be had around the South Pacific and the kind of military implications of places like Hong Kong and Taiwan. But obviously, Hong Kong and Taiwan and other ones springing up within China itself bring up the issue of human rights as well. And this is a tightrope that Australia has really struggled to walk in recent years, and the United States are obviously going to struggle to walk, standing up for human rights while at the same time improving that relationship.
Yeah, that's a very difficult one. We've got Myanmar in this too, in this soup. Myanmar would not be able to do what they're doing without Chinese assistance. And the Chinese are afraid of their Muslim population for whatever reasons. I don't know why. They seem to be pretty quiet from my standpoint, but to them, they're a menace. I don't know if anybody knows a way through this thicket. The one that we can have the most effect on is their own citizens and the Hong Kongese and the Taiwanese that they arrest, who are really Westerners. And there's some push from all the West on these issues. But not all the West is together here. And Russia is playing a mean ball here and supporting the Chinese on these kind of suppression because they do it themselves. There are no answers here. I'm not to say no easy answers. There are no answers. We have to try. This is like taming some big beast. You have to keep your whip out and keep snapping because if he gets loose, there's no containing him.
Well, the United States has almost enough problems at home, and I'm going to touch on a few of those just now. Steve Bannon, the former Trump advisor, has been arrested this week to face contempt charges after he defied a subpoena from the House of Reps investigating January 6. Ed, do you see much to come out of this?
Well, the problem this is, Steve Bannon has not said, oh my, now I'll go and testify rather than going to jail. He says, I'm taking the offensive, whatever the hell that means.
Mm.
And it probably means that he's going to say, I'm not coming, you come after me. That brings in their own little militia, starts an internal kind of skirmish that Biden and nobody else wants. So I think there aren't any cooler heads here, unfortunately. The man has violated the law, and he's unwilling to deal with it. And that means anybody else who's in that same space is going to take the same actions. And that's what the American people don't want to see. They want to see things moving along smoothly, not this ugliness. But I think there's going to be a lot of ugliness before there's any calm.
Yes, well, look, on that, Republicans have leapt to Bannon's defense. And unfortunately, that is a bit of a theme today, threatening to go on the attack with subpoenas against Biden aides and investigations into God knows what if they take back the House in 2022. It's something at the core of this system. This system at the moment seems very broken.
Yeah, it does. And I think the more they do this, of course, the more they bring on their hard right people and the more they scare the people in the middle. So this kind of hostility, ugliness that they're getting appeals to very few people. The trouble is the people it does appeal to will take actions. And unless Biden and others are strong and quick, this is a downhill move.
Well, something we should touch on this, I don't think we've touched on this one so far, at least not since the incident occurred itself. The Kyle Rittenhouse trial is ongoing at this point, and Rittenhouse, you will remember, is charged with 5 counts, including homicide and attempted homicide, after shooting 3 people in August of 2020 amid protests and unrest in Kenosha, Wisconsin, that unrest sort of following a police shooting. Ed, I can't overstate this enough. Rittenhouse is a hero to many on that far right that you just mentioned right there. And Republican politicians, a lot of the Republican politicians are not going to defy the far right on this one. He is seen as taking up arms, fighting against the scourge of the evil left. And in a supported view, it would seem, this is correct action.
Yes. And that's what makes this really dangerous, because you can say what you want about Antifa. They were not carrying guns. And they are kind of a disorganized mob. Now we have an organized mob who takes some actions. The jury here is very curious the way they select this jury. They have about 30 people, and I guess the judge selects 12 of them. It's a very curious situation. I think the jurors are going to be mindful of these charges and may have, well, if they absolve him of everything, all hell's going to break loose. And if they don't give him some punishment, all hell's going to be break loose. It's too bad these trials are in the public view and people form their opinions from what they hear on the internet rather than actually listening to the cases. This can only end badly. And the judge has made sure that's going to happen by his behavior. He has not been Solomonic.
Ed, I was in Belfast a few years ago. I went on a tour of the city with a few friends of mine. And look, we went on both sides of the wall. And this was, as part of this tour, there were these kind of murals. I believe this was on the Protestant side, and I think this might have been in reference to Stephen McKeague. I'm not entirely sure. I just remember the person in this mural. He died of an overdose, as McKeague did, and he was also famous for killing Catholics. And he was seen as this hero. He's lauded as this hero.
Yes.
Yeah. And look, I knew probably a bit more about the history of Belfast than my friends did, but I think we were all equally disturbed. We were all equally horrified about how these divisions are so terrible that, you know, that these people are being celebrated as heroes for doing nothing but killing the other side. And yet, I think if you showed me today a mural of Kyle Rittenhouse in a deep red state, I don't think I would be surprised.
No, I wouldn't either. He has become a darling of that side of things. And so, as I said, nothing good can come out of this.
Look, thirdly on this, there was a poll out this week. Numbers of voters claiming election fraud in the 2020 election have basically remained rock steady. I mean, 32% of overall Americans polled, 73% of self-identified Republicans say they believe there was fraud. Now, personally, I don't actually believe that. I think there are too many bad faith claims being made generally by Republicans now. I mean, some no doubt believe the election fraud did happen based on the information they're absorbing. But I think a lot of others just see this as a way of undercutting Biden and
this
generally...
This is being on the team. This is being on the
team.
Yeah. That's part of the rhetoric of being on the team. And it's not what they believe, it's what they, how you put it, support. It's an idea that they support, and they're going to support this idea. This is very much like the religious things, where there's a Virgin Mary, et cetera, et cetera. What did Muhammad actually say? So these religious beliefs are deeper than any kind of rational material, and it's anti-rational. You notice they want to do things that don't make any sense. For example, in Texas, they're saying, we're suing the federal government for making us do the OSHA requirements. And you say, okay, but your governor signed a document saying you couldn't have any vaccine requirements. So you're suing the federal government for having one. But your governor has put out an edict that says you can't. Isn't that exactly the same thing? If you believed in what people's justice for themselves, the governor should say nothing. I'll sue the federal government and then let employers in my state do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no rhyme or reason. There is no logic here. There's just active hostility. And thank God. Well, it is creeping here. What's happened in the last couple of days in Melbourne is very similar. People have a deep belief that the government's doing wrong, but when you ask them why, they can't tell you.
Mm. So just to sum this up, we're about a year since Biden was elected. We still have a growing potential for more politically motivated violence. We have key figures defying investigations and a level of belief in fraud in the system that kind of makes holding elections potentially unsustainable. I mean, where do you go from here?
Well, there is no place to go from here unless you cut the snake's head off. Unless Trump really gets a reckoning and put away, and some of his clones, the same happen, it'll continue. You cannot let this beast continue to be fed.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Make sure to subscribe, drop us a review if you're feeling generous, and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.